And we're back here, Getaway Friday morning, Friday, August the 9th, 2019. 8, 9, 19, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the early show here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. And as many of you know, there is an election coming up in just a few months here. Boy, hard to believe we're already into August. And in early November, this election will happen, so about 3 months away. And we like to have candidates on, talk to them, find out what they think is best for the city of Marion. And this morning, we kind of start that series with a gentleman who I believe we had on back in January, right after he announced his intention to run as the Democrat in the first ward. Kai Mead. So it's great to welcome Kai back to these microphones. How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
It's good good of you to get up this early and come in on a Friday morning.
Absolutely.
Are you an early riser?
I like to think I am, but you know, a Saturday morning hits and you never know what's going to happen.
That's right. First ward, you were in right after you announced you were going to run. So let's kind of recap some of this. You were the president of the Democratic Party.
Yes, I was.
Here in Marion. First of all, what was that experience like? For people who don't know, what does a president of a party do in a place like Marion?
So in Marion, it's, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. One of the big things that you do is you try to just get people involved in the party, whether it be from a volunteer basis, just coming to meetings or, you know, finding potential candidates. And I think that we did a really good job of it that year and just finding people who wanted to get involved in all kinds of creative ways, from knocking doors to just helping out wherever they could.
Is it a hard job?
I wouldn't say that it's particularly hard. It's very, it's time consuming, but it's very rewarding.
The first ward, how long have you lived in the first ward?
I've lived in the first ward for a little over a year.
Little over a year. What made you decide at this time in your life, being as young as you are, that you wanted to jump in and run for office?
So I graduate at the end of the year with a bachelor's in political science, and I've been involved for a long time. I've been going to council meetings since for at least the last 4 or 5 years. And so when you're doing that, you're learning a lot about the different policy methods that could go into fixing our city and stuff that people try that doesn't always work. And so when you're sitting there, you're learning. Eventually, you come to the conclusion that, you know, I think I could do this. And then when you have that education and the different backgrounds that I have, you really realize that, hey, I can do this, and I can do this very well. Just because from sitting there, you realize that this isn't I just feel like from a policy perspective, I've got the answers.
Since last we talked, I believe when you were in here back in January, we knew that there was going to be a primary. It was a Democratic primary, only one primary in Marion back in May. It was in the 5th Ward, and it was between Tara Dyer and Tanner Hale. Now, we all know that Tara won that primary, and now she will face Leslie Cunningham in the November election. What did you make of that primary as it went leading up to May?
You know, I love a good primary. Maybe it's just because I've been involved for a while, but I think the primaries really get voters out. It gets them interested, and really they're just good for democracy in general. It gives people options as to who to vote for, from not just Republican or Democrat. Now you get to pick what kind of Democrat you want to elect. And so at the end of the day, I felt like it was good for Marion and it was good for the Democratic Party.
Good for the Democratic Party in what way?
Just getting more people involved. You know, sometimes when someone jumps in to run, people stick around after. People decide that they want to volunteer in other ways, or voters decide that, hey, I liked this voting thing. I'm going to keep doing it.
Is that a good sign for Tara that she was able to win that primary? Is by the number she did?
Yeah, absolutely. Any win's a good win. So if I was Tara, I'd be feeling great about that race.
Did you suspect it would come out that way?
I had no clue. A lot of people asked me, which way do I think it's going to lean? Is it going to go Tara Tanner, and I always just try to say it's a 50-50 ball on a lot of these elections. Yeah, it's a jump ball. You never really know.
It was an interesting primary from the perspective that Tara had run for county commissioner the year before, and Tanner had run for city council in a different ward 4 years earlier. So these were people who were both getting back in to do this. And I think there were some differences, and yet it ended the way it did. What do you think was Tara's advantage? Because obviously she had to have some advantage in to win.
I think, you know, it's weird to say. I think Tara just has a very built-in, like, everyone knows Tara. I mean, I feel like the first time I met Tara, I feel like I could have talked to her for an hour about just anything. And so just her being in the community and helping and volunteering and doing all kinds of stuff really gives you an advantage, because people who might not be that politically involved, they see Tara's name and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to go vote for her because I remember when she helped me with this or that. And it's not that Tanner didn't necessarily have that, but Tara has just been a staple in this community, and she's done it very, very well.
We now know, since last time we talked, what pretty well, more or less, the races are going to be in November for mayor, for auditor, for all these positions. What do you make of the way things came down, the people who decided to run for what they decided to run for?
You know, I was interested because I feel like sometimes things slip out and you hear things that someone's going to jump into this race or that race. But this time it was kind of just it was a well-kept secret. And then just from different races, you know, it's strange seeing people, you know, move up to or go to different races to run for different things. Not saying that that's good or bad. It's always interesting. I always have to realize sometimes that not everyone is like looking at it the same way I am as a voter.
Within the Democratic Party, when this all came down, when we learned who was running for what was the general feeling in the party?
I think it was just like people were just awestruck at, like, we don't really have primaries that often around here. And so when that comes out, you know, you almost don't know what to do for a second, and then you kind of just are like, I guess we're gonna have a primary. And then, like I said, it's always good for democracy, it's always good for the party. You never want to be the person getting primaried, but at the end of the day, I think it helps a lot.
It would seem to me, and I believe this is right, aside from bond issues or any levy issues that might be around, the only two races in which the entire city will vote are the mayor and the auditor. I think that's right this time. Is there another one that I'm leaving off?
No, I think you're right, just because our at-large positions are kind of set.
Right. So those are the two, and it's interesting because both of those, Kelly Carr, the auditor, and Mayor Schertzer, are both incumbents. They're both Democrats. And it's also an interesting coincidence that the Republicans that are running against them in both of those races are also currently both involved in politics and hold seats on city council. I can't remember the last time something like that happened. What did you make of that?
You know, I think it's interesting just because, you know, sometimes if you are the out-of-party candidate running, sometimes you do almost have an advantage of saying that, hey, I'm a new face or something like that. And, you know, I think that there's pros and cons to it, but something that a lot of people aren't talking about is just the fact of it's just someone moving from one job in local government to another, whereas before it was someone coming in with fresh ideas saying, hey, I'm going to run for this because I feel like I can impact the community in ways that I haven't really had the opportunity before. But when you're going from one local position to another, it's tougher to make that argument.
Do you think that when you have been in a position for a while that and you have a record that people can attack if they want to attack, that makes it a little more difficult?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the focus is just doing, you want to do the best job you can, obviously, from that position. It's the same as any other job. And at the end of the day, I think that if you're just focusing on doing the job right consistently, then you won't have as much to worry about that's actually like a tangible criticism.
Going back many years to the days of Doc Brown, Jack Kellogg, Ron Malone, the mayor's race is a big race. It's a big race. It's a position that is a full-time position. It's interesting. So anytime we have a mayoral race, it's interesting to watch. What do you think is unique about this one? Kevin Norris and Mayor Schertzer. And Sue McGowan, we can't forget her. She's running as an independent.
I mean, it's just... Really, a lot of times mayoral races involve, obviously, the mayor and another staple of the community. But this is like... This more than ever is just a different, like, different staples of our community just from different areas, it feels like, you know, different corners of the community. And so it gets interesting to see who is going to create that coalition to win, or maybe who's going to play spoiler for someone else.
Are the Democrats, after the last election, after the last few elections, where Republicans have pretty well won and won strong, is there any idea in changing how things have turned out? How are we going to change this? Is that conversation going on?
You know, I think it's about just producing good candidates and not to say that our old ones were bad, but it's just making sure that our candidates are, one, they're going to put in the work. They realize the job that it is to run for office. That it's fun, but it's a lot of, you're knocking a lot of doors. You're talking to a lot of people, and that's not for everybody. And then making sure that they're up to date on the issues and things like that, and making sure that I always feel like if the more we focus on actually putting forth candidates that are going to be the most beneficial for the community, the better we're going to do in the elections. Because a lot of times voters will see that they see when someone's going to be a good fit with the city.
You know, I think it must be hard when you're an office holder. You are covered. You're covered by radio. You're certainly covered by newspaper. Your meetings are public, and you're making decisions right on up through the election when people not running for office are not, because most of them are not in office at the time. Do you think the advantage goes to the incumbent, or it goes to the other person?
Well, you know, it depends on the incumbent, because I think that if you know how to play your cards and you're really just constantly, like I said, trying to make decisions that benefit the community, then the incumbent does have the advantage. But, you know, elections are one of the weird jobs where if you play Monday morning quarterback, you might actually get in the game. So you never really know.
Well, it's interesting because in your particular race, there is no incumbent. So we're going to talk about that and exactly where the first ward is in Marion, if you don't know, and Kai's ideas for the first ward. You're tuned into WWGH Radio. We're going to take about a 3-minute break here for news and weather, and we'll be back with Kai Mead, your Democratic candidate for city council in the first district here in Marion. Remember, Charlie Evers coming up this morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I think he's going to be doing giveaways today to Zumbezi Bay, Columbus Zoo, the Wilds. A lot of great stuff to give away. And then the Exchange Club with myself, Charlie Evers, and Brandy Downs coming up from 12 to 1. And boy, will there be a lot to talk about today as we wrap up the week's events. More with Kai Mead after this short but important timeout.
It's now time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the WWGH News Center. I'm Bill Macy.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Wednesday, shortly after 1 p.m., Officer Matt Krebs checked the license plate registration on a car in the area of Forest Lawn Boulevard and Toulon Avenue and found that the owner had felony warrants through Marion County Common Pleas Court and a suspended driver's license. When he activated his lights and sirens to stop the car, the driver took off at a high rate of speed northbound on Forest Lawn Boulevard. Officer Krebs discontinued the pursuit but located the vehicle abandoned nearby.
Other officers went to the area to assist in the search for the suspect. With the help of several neighbors in the area, the suspect was located hiding in a yard in the area of Burgundy Drive. He was arrested without further incident. The police department would like to thank the neighbors for their assistance in locating this suspect. Arrested was Philip M. Artresia Sr., 30 years old, of Marion. He had a total of 3 warrants, all felonies. Failure to comply, which is a felony, probation violation, and driving under suspension.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I'm Zach Fuller. Cooler temperatures today. I'll have your latest forecast coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network. Did you know on this day in 1969, a tornado hit Cincinnati, Ohio, killing 4 people and causing $15 million in property damage? The tornado moved in a southeasterly direction at 40 to 50 miles per hour. Now you know with Marion, Ohio Weather and the Marion, Ohio News Network. From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Friday in the Marinara, we'll see plenty of sunshine, a high only reaching 79 degrees. Tonight, we'll stay clear, a low near 53 degrees. For your Saturday, sunshine sticks around, a high near 80 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 84. And Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 83. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.
Back Getaway Friday, August the 9th, 2019, 33 coming up on 34 minutes past the hour, and our guest this morning is Kai Mead, the Democratic primary, or Democratic candidate for First Ward Council. Kai, primary must be on the mind. Is it hard when two friends of yours are running against each other? As Tara and Tanner are, friends of yours.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of weird, but you have to stay out of it just because, one, you don't want to, like, I made sure not to volunteer for either side. You know, I kind of just kept the same mentality, or tried to at least, with when I was club president, of just, like, you kind of stay out. You call balls and strikes where it's necessary, but, you know, that's the thing about elections is a lot of times voting tends to work itself out.
Do people get upset when it's your friend and they want you to do something and you say, I can't do it because I want to stay impartial?
You know, it just depends on the issue. A lot of times, everyone wants impartiality until it involves them. And so I think it's not tough as long as if you keep that same standard. Once you start letting certain things in or start to make adjustments here and there, that's when it gets tough, because then you're not keeping the same standard and you want to always maintain that standard. But as long as you stay out when it's important for you to do so, then it makes it a little bit easier.
Locally, what are the big differences between the Democrats and the Republicans in Marion County?
You know, the funny thing is, a lot of times, you know, the lines get crossed a lot of times on certain issues. And the Democrats in Marion right now, we're more about those front door issues. you know, what's going to affect you. People don't realize how important local government is to them. And I think that that's the difference that we've made when it comes to, you know, fixing streets and things like that. And when I'm talking to voters, I pride myself on, you know, here's what I want to do for the community. And then if you bring up something that, you know, isn't something that council does or something like that, I don't give you the runaround or anything like that. I let you know that, hey, that's a really good idea, but that's not really council's forte. That's not really council's area. And so, you know, we've done a really good job of just focusing on kitchen table issues for local government.
Take me through going to somebody's door. Most of us, the majority of people, do not run for office. So how do you do this? How do you choose where to go? And take me through the whole process of walking up to the door and what normally happens.
You know, people have different strategies for which doors they hit and which they don't. I have just come to the conclusion over time, you know, you got to hit every single door. You got to talk to every voter. You have to talk to, I mean, just as many people as you can to get out there, get your name out there, talk about the issues. I feel like the more people I can talk to, the more people I can give my message to, the better off I'll be on election day, focusing on, you know, stuff that I want to do on council compared to just like political things on this and that. Because if someone wants to know about like the Republican versus the Democrat or what drama is going on, then there's three different major television networks they can watch for that. I want to knock on your door and tell you how I'm going to make your life a little bit better from a city council perspective, not just, you know, talk to you about why this Republican is bad or that. That's trivial. It's immature.
What is the strangest thing that's happened to you when you've went to somebody's door?
You know, it's not necessarily strange, but one thing that I really have, I guess, enjoy is you never know who's going to be that person that like invites you in and wants to talk to you for 20, 30 minutes. And that was something that until like it happens to you, it's kind of, it's just weird to explain, because the first time it happened to me, I was almost like, oh gosh, like I don't know if I just want to go into this random house. But then you have to realize that, hey, I'm the one knocking on their door. And so that's always just a fun portion of knocking on doors, because you really do build different relationships with people. And, you know, that just from people who, there's different levels of support from someone just saying, yeah, I'll vote for you, or yeah, I'll let you put a yard sign in my yard, or, you know, come in, I want to talk to you about everything from streets to firefighter wages. And so you never really know what you're going to get. It's always just a surprise at every single door. People, no two voters are made the same.
What is the thing you hear the most often?
So a big issue has always just been, one, street quality. Two, I think something that isn't directly said, but is kind of on the minds and is powerful to a lot of voters, is just being active as a councilman in the community, in the sense that, you know, not everybody can go to a council meeting. Not everybody can tune in here and there. And so one of the things that I always talk about is we need to have town halls in our communities. We need to not just invite someone to come to a council meeting, because that's kind of a formal setting. You know, let's throw something in the middle of Fair Park and talk to voters about things and give them a chance to talk. And because there's a lot of things that I want to do for the community, but you know what? There's going to be a couple voters out there who have really good ideas on stuff that I didn't think of, because they have a different perspective than I do. And so it's really just listening to people, listening to voters and their issues, making sure that people have stuff to do. People talk about like the drug problems in Marion and stuff like that, and I think a cop out answer has always been, well, that's not really us type of thing. But you know, there's always things that you can do. From one of the things that you just that benefits, that helps keep people away from that stuff, is the pool. I mean, it's little things here and there. It's not something that we can throw a ton of money at. Like, we're not the federal government, but it's little things here and there that you can do. And if you get one person to stay away from something like that, those drugs, then I think that it's time well spent.
The firefighters have made their endorsements already for the upcoming election. In your particular race, they have endorsed you. When you go to try to get that endorsement, what typically happens in those interviews?
So you sit down with three firefighters, and you talk to them about the different things, your vision for the city, from a council perspective, from a citizen's perspective. And I always, when I went in there, my grandpa was a firefighter, and so you go in there knowing that if you're gonna go in, you can't be come up with nonsense. And so I just tried to keep it straight with them, let them know what I felt like we could do, what we couldn't do. And one of the biggest things that I felt was an issue was the fact that they're making about $13-14 an hour. Other places in Marion, it's not even close, or other places in Ohio, it's not even close. And it's issues like those that I think are important, as far as those are the ones that kind of were in the front, but also as a side issue, when they retire, their insurance covering things like PTSD, because, you know, running into a burning building all the time, you know, it might stress you out. So it's just being educated on the issues. I felt like I always try to take pride in myself on doing my homework on a lot of things. And so when you go into something like that well-prepared, I think people notice.
Can you tell when you're having this interview or meeting with the firefighters that things are going well or things are not going well?
Yeah, I think it's the same as a job interview or something like that, whereas you kind of have an idea that you did really well, but you never know. You know, someone might come in and knock it out of the park even more than you did. I left that interview feeling very strongly about my position and my chances for an endorsement.
What do you think the rest of this campaign will be like? What's your plan for the next few months?
I just want to knock on as many doors as I can, talk to as many voters as I can, keep it positive, and just, you know, talk about the issues. There was a Facebook conversation I had with somebody one time, and I remember telling them, you know, talking about Republicans and Democrats never fixed anybody's streets. It just, to me, it's about going in and actually putting in the work, actually getting things done, being efficient. And then when you're not, where you're not, communicating that with voters. Because I think that the worst thing a voter can do is find out that you A, lied to them, or B, made it seem like you were doing more than you were, or that you put in more effort than you did. And I think that if you have to treat council, even though it is part-time, like it's a full-time job. You have to be a full-time councilman, because when something happens at 2 a.m. and they're calling you because they don't know who to get a hold of, you don't get to say, oh, well, I'm a part-time councilman. You're a full-time councilman, and you have to treat it like that. And I think that that becomes an issue sometimes.
The particular council we've had has been kind of interesting the last 2 years for a lot of reasons. And things that I can remember, it started off kind of interesting because the clerk of council was immediately let go, and this turned into a big thing because somebody else was brought in, and then that person said, I don't want to do this anymore because I'm stressed out because of the way things are going. And it wasn't stressed out by the job, was my understanding. It was stressed out by the arguments that were going on, Republican, Democrat, which I don't remember happening previously, but maybe it did. And then finally they settled on another one that they both, another secretary of council, clerk of council, that both parties could agree on. We have had council people going to the media now and saying people aren't showing up for votes on certain things, and then there's a backlash on that where people say, I do show up for votes, you didn't show up for these votes. Do you think local politics have changed in the last couple of years?
You know, I think they have, just because a lot of conversations, a lot of infighting that might occur behind closed doors is now out in the open, and people get to see candidates and just people in general in a way that isn't as protected as before, whereas like a candidate could really mold who they wanted to look like or what they wanted to look like. And now you get to see real people more than ever before. And I think that, you know, the way you counteract that is you do the job you treat it like a full-time job. And if someone's not showing up to votes and you decide to be critical of that person, you know how you don't catch any flack for that. Well, you be there for all the votes, you know, all the votes that involve you. And so, you know, a lot of times I just think that it's people just want to make things political. People want to have fights. People want to get into it with other people. And I think that that's not what you're elected to do. You're elected to make it so, you know, someone's streets actually like are paved a little bit better. Make it so that when the roads need plowed, that certain areas of Marion are actually getting it quickly. They don't care about the Republican versus Democrat fighting. Like, no one's streets are getting plowed over political fighting.
Are politics now more divisive than they used to be, even on the local level?
Yeah, I think so. People are just more willing to kind of say things in a way, in a manner that they might not have before, that maybe they would have hinted around or kind of let it kind of spread on its own, whereas now people would just come out and say it. And I think that that is kind of more of just a product of society today, of people like have 15 seconds to say something, so they're going to make sure that they say it. They want it to have as much impact as possible. And so, you know, I just with my race, I just try to make sure that we have we keep it positive. We focus on issues. We focus on what I can do for a voter. Me sitting there going back and forth with another candidate makes for good reality TV, but bad for government.
What has caused this, in your opinion? Because it's a fairly new development.
You know, I think people just really feel like they've got there's one or two chances maybe in an election. They see a lot of times politics takes the lead from the national races, unfortunately. And so people think that they can have these one or two moments that go viral, or like have everyone's talking about in the community locally or something like that. And that's the key to winning an election in their minds. But I think that at the end of the day, it's more just about talking to voters about the issues. People don't care that you had a burn on someone. They care about the streets. They care about what are you going to do about dogs running loose in the community. They want to know about that more than what so-and-so's secret or something like that.
When somebody says something negative about you, how do you deal with it?
You know, it's funny because I remember I played basketball when I was younger, and I ran cross country. And one thing that I noticed is if somebody is kind of talking trash to you in a race, they're either A, they're going to be tired, they're going to be pretty tired later on, or they're not running as hard as they could be, and they're focusing more on me than they are on their campaign. And so maybe it's just because, you know, I wasn't the best cross country runner, but I always just tried to put everything I could into what was straight ahead of me. And that, for me, that's just talking to voters, talking about issues, talking about what I can actually do for the community. I'll leave the negative stuff for negative people.
What is the biggest problem in the first ward right now?
I would say, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to work on, but the biggest thing is just recreating that sense of community that was there. And I think the way you address that is with those town hall issues, creating that town hall so that we can talk about what are things that the voters really want to see done in a way so that we can address those things, not just every election, but so that we are talking to voters and I'm not just knocking on your door in October asking you for a vote, or I'm not just Kai Mead, the city council candidate or the city council member. I'm Kai Mead, the guy that your neighbor, the guy that's helping you with something. Oh, you're going on vacation, you need your grass cut. You know, it's about recreating that sense of community.
Is it a nervous time? Because I would think it's a time-consuming thing to run for office, and you know it all comes down to one day, and you know at the end of that day if you got the job or you didn't get the job, and it's going to be based on the people who you have talked to.
Yeah, there's definitely anxiety involved, but it's like any other competition, in that if you prepare for any other test, the more you prepare for it, the more confidence you have in yourself and in your chances. If I didn't do anything until November and jumped in, then yeah, I'd be freaking out. But you know, that'd be well deserved. But I'm knocking as much as I can. I'm talking to as many voters as I can, so that when election day does come, I'm gonna work through it. I'm gonna still be knocking on doors, but I'm gonna like my chances.
What do you make of the recent idea that people have of running their campaigns on Facebook?
You know, I think that Facebook is a good way to reach people. Facebook is a good way to get your message out, you know, talk to people that you might miss. You know, people work different shifts. There's all kinds of reasons why you might connect to somebody on Facebook instead of other areas. But Facebook is the cherry on top. You can't run a campaign just off Facebook. You have to get out there and talk to people. If you're just constantly Facebook messaging somebody, or you're just posting on your page, then that's great. But you know, if I'm on the fence between two candidates, then no one's going to be swayed because of that Facebook post. I would much rather talk to somebody face to face, and I think that's how a lot of voters feel. It's much harder for me to explain what issues matter to me as a voter over Facebook than if I'm talking to you face to face. And it's knowing that you put in the time and the effort to actually come talk to me instead of just shooting something out en masse.
First Ward is interesting for a lot of reasons, because there was a 20-year incumbent back in 2017, Ralph Cumston. He ran against, he was the Democrat, ran against Robert Landon, who was a Republican. First time, to my knowledge, he'd ever run for anything, and Robert Landon won. What do you make of that 2017, the last time we had an election in the First Ward?
You know, It's always impressive to see an incumbent defeated by a first time candidate. I think that during that election, what it really just came down to was who was knocking on the doors like crazy, who in that specific race wanted it more. And at the end of the day, it ended up being Landon.
What do you think he did that was able to unseat a man who'd been there for 20 years?
I think, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's really just talking to people, talking to voters, coming with your ideas for council. You know, sometimes people come in with the best intentions and it just doesn't work out. But at the end of the day, it's just, what connection do you make with voters? And I think that the longer you're in this, sometimes you lose sight of that, and you get a little bit more creative than you need to be, and it's really not that complicated. It's not that difficult. You go, you put your put some walking shoes on, and you start knocking on doors, and that's it.
When you made the decision to run as the Democrat in the First Ward, did you think initially you were going to be running against Robert Landon?
I wasn't sure, because you know, you'd heard rumors here and there. I was ready to run no matter what. You know, that's the thing about having, that's the thing about you having ideas to run. It doesn't matter who you're running against. If I felt like someone else could do the job better, then I just wouldn't run. But that's the thing. You know, I'm gonna run. I'm gonna put out my ideas. I'm gonna put out my policies and try to do what I can regardless of my opponent. My opponent's changed a lot, but my message hasn't.
There is no incumbent in your race. Does that make it easier or harder?
You know, it's got its pros and cons. If you're running against an incumbent, you obviously have their record to run with and to go off of. But like I said, the thing is, if I'm running because I feel like Bermuda or Fairwood is a racetrack, whether or not I'm running against an incumbent or not doesn't change the fact that people are flying down it and something needs to happen about it. It doesn't change the fact that there's dogs getting out left and right in Fair Park or right in that area. And, you know, so a lot of these issues are larger than whether or not I'm running against someone who's been there or not. Because at the end of the day, you know, this just comes down to who's got the best answers.
How much now in a local election does being a Republican or a Democrat matter?
You know, I think that at the door, when you first start talking to somebody, some people do really are just like, you know what, I always vote Democrat, I always vote Republican, thanks, but no thanks. But I think that occurs on both sides, and so it kind of evens out. Most people just want to know that you are actually going to be there, that you actually are going to put forth the effort, that you are going to treat this like a full-time job.
No town is 50-50. In your time as being the president of the Democratic Party and running for office, do you feel Marion's more of a Republican or a Democrat town?
You know, I think that it's strange just because I think we lean a little to the right on issues, but you know, sometimes Dems lean a little to the right on certain issues and maybe a little to the left on other issues. And so, although we do lean to the right a little bit, sometimes I think a lot of times that we've just put forth the candidates that can just do the job better. And I think that at the end of the day, even on a national level, when you break it down, people elect candidates that they think can do the best job, that can fix the problems that they care about the most. If you cared about immigration the most and you felt like that there was a border problem, then you voted for Donald Trump because you felt like A, there was a problem, and B, that he was the best person for the job to fix that. And it goes down to the state and the local areas. If you are, again, are really upset about Fair Park, people flying through Fair Park going 60 miles an hour, you're going to vote for the candidate that's really talking about those issues, I think.
In 2016, I believe Donald Trump won Marion County by about double the votes that Hillary Clinton had here. In 2018, for governor, Mike DeWine, I think, won Marion County by about double the votes that Rich Cordray got here. What does that say to you?
You know, that's one of the things that I've learned through my time in school, through, you know, volunteering, through knocking doors and everything like that, is you can't read too much from the national and the state into the local, just because, you know, there's people, for instance, there's a guy right now right off of Bermuda who flies a gigantic Donald Trump flag in his garage and has my yard sign out. It's not about the partisanship. It's about who's got the right answers.
Now, how did you convince that person who flies the Donald Trump flag to put your sign in his yard? Because as you said, you've went up to doors and people say, I always vote Republican, I always vote Democrat. You would think that would be an always vote Republican guy.
Well, you know, when I went up to his door, I gave him the reasons why I was running. I gave him the things that I'd like to see fixed, and I didn't give him a separate different treatment just because he was flying a Donald Trump flag. I'm not going to treat anybody differently based off of their partisan leaning. I think that most people feel that they are going to vote for the candidate who is going to do the best job. And so a lot of times when we're, as people who are sitting and watching races and things like that, we come to the conclusion that, people are going to always vote red, people are always going to vote left. But the thing is, a lot of people really just want to see their community improved. And then that's really the way I go about it, is just talking about the issues, talking about the answers. There's going to be some people who voted for Hillary Clinton that won't vote for me. There's going to be some people who voted for Donald Trump who won't vote for me. But I'm going to get the converse for both of those candidates. And so, you know, I'm not really trying to stay away from any group of voter. I want to talk about the issues 24/7. And I think a lot of people like that. A lot of people are sick of the divisiveness that you referenced. It's time to bring back boring politics.
Kai Mead is the guest. He's the Democratic candidate for First Ward City Council here in Marion. We're going to break for news and weather for about 10-15 minutes here. Come back. Kai's going to stay with us for another hour, and we're going to go more in depth on the First Ward in the second hour. So stay tuned. It's the Early Show here on WWGH Radio.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Madge used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
I need a mic.
There you go.
Sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. And I got that trip to New York interviewing a Paris designer. And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trigier. I took Pauline Trigier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as slick an announcer as I ever saw. I mean, a designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some other ones sometime while I was still there. It didn't work.
Madge Cooper. Madge Guthrie.
You won't be a millionaire, but it's the best job in the world.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
If you were a cheetah, you could be here just like that. If you were a kangaroo, well, you'd be here in just a few hops. This is Jungle Jack Hanna.
It's a wild way to stay and play. Meet 10,000 awesome animals at the Columbus Zoo. Plus, splash all day at Zumbezi Bay with tons of rides and water slides.
So what are you waiting for?
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. Marion Court Apartments, located on Fairfax Road, offering newly updated one-bedroom apartments with laundry room and patio. Telephone number 740-389-3462. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Baptist Church is located at 2816 Marion Waldo Road.
This is Phil Reed, and you are listening to WWGH Radio at 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hey everyone, it's Weasel Boy, Weasel the Weeze. You might remember me from WNCI in Columbus.